Yes. She is an associate minister just like me, and I just absolutely love going this road with her. It is so much fun. She keeps her energy up, which really helps the spirits to come down close to us. It really, really is so helpful when you see somebody that's really happy, joyful, and free because they want to come into the party. And she's definitely a party, definitely. So, Miss Jody Votel is a, she's an air traffic controller, works for that department, with them. So she's got a real good job. And she has a really wonderful, loving husband. And she's got two beautiful daughters, just like me. Boy, we're very similar here. I love that. And, so anyway, we keep each other up, which is really, really important, you know, because she's just, it's like if you just, need somebody to cry on your shoulder, she's there. Oh, you can always talk to her. And she'll be your mom. She'll be your definitely assistant associate minister. She'll be your friend. Anyway, I really want you to give a warm welcome to Mrs. Jody Votel.
Thanks, Penny. Hey, everybody. I sat down before the seats filled up, so it's always nice to stand up and go, whew, somebody came. Thanks for coming on the first or the day before Thanksgiving too. That's pretty cool. Okay, so who knows somebody who's old? Yeah, right? Okay. What's old? It depends on how old you are. But I do have some ages of what they are, but I'll get to that. But I first want to tell you a story that just happened this week. I was at the dog park with my daughter, who's 21, and this guy was leaving the park, and he had his little dog, and the dog was so close to the ground, it was so cute, and real small, and walking real slow, and she said, well, good thing that dog's walking so slow, and I'm like, what are you trying to say about the guy, because the guy who was the owner was older, and he was walking really slow. And I'm like, what are you trying to say? You know, oh, nothing. I just, it's about the dog, you know. So I thought, and it's interesting too, because there's some of my really good friends have had birthdays around this time, and you guys had birthdays, Penny, you had a birthday. So we all are getting, we're getting older every day, right? So sooner, and you know what I said to her at the park when I teased her about implying that that man was old and slow, I said, you know what? That's going to be you someday. Hell, that's going to be me. And you're going to have to deal with me doing that, you know? And yeah, and then here's Millie. I was just telling you about, you know, I said, Millie's not here, but I'll pretend not to be able to hear. But yeah, so we joke about it, and we go around them on the freeway, and we hurry up in front of them because we can beat them. Sorry, when they're slow, you can beat them, right? So do you take cuts? I don't know. I try not to, but anyway. So let's see. let's see. I've already gotten lost. Oh, so I prepared this talk. I've done this talk before, but it's been a really long time. It's been probably a couple years. It's about aging and ageism, if you hadn't guessed already. Ageism is the prejudice of aged people. Yeah. So at the time Millie had been gone, and one of the times that she had been gone that we were praying for her because she was sick, and I was saying, I'm so glad that she's back. And we should all do so well in our late adulthood. Late adulthood. Aging. What do you think of when I bring up this subject? Mixed reviews, I'd say, but in general, we are accustomed to cringing at the very thought. Me? Age? No. I still feel, I mean, I would say I feel like I'm in my 20s. In my brain, I have the energy that I had in my 20s. I still have the, you know, Penny, your introduction. I still am the party, you know. I refuse to let an old person move into my body. Just because I'm aging doesn't mean I'm going to get crotchety. Please don't let me get crotchety. I'm not going to say never, because as soon as I say that, that's why I'm driving a minivan. I said I would never drive a minivan, and I've been driving it for 10 years. So I'm not going to say I'll never do it. Just please don't let me do it. Okay, so let's see. What does the Bible say about aging? Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. And righteous meaning a life that's pleasing to God. Yeah. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair, the splendor of the old. Job 32:7. Days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. And then another Job, wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. What exactly is aging, then? Primary aging is the inevitable physical and mental changes related to age, while secondary aging is defined as changes that are a result of disease, disuse, or neglect. So, two different things, right? Physical and mental, and then disease. I was at a party talking to some friends, and I brought up the subject. We pondered what age, at what stage we're considered to be for our age. So, I found a chart, and here's your life stages. Infancy to childhood is birth to 12 years old. Adolescence, 12 to about 24. The brain doesn't fully mature until about 24. We'd like to say 20 or 18, but it doesn't really mature. That's super important, because in today's society, we think people are grown up when they're 18 and their brains aren't done developing. Young adulthood, 24 to 45. Middle adulthood, 45 to 60. Later adulthood, 60 and up. So you can determine where you fall. So society, America, spends billion dollars a year on chasing youth. Supplements, surgery, Botox, the list goes on. Our society is harsh when it comes to portraying age. I grew up watching the cute little old lady on TV commercial ask, "Where's the beef?" And it was so funny. Anyone, where's the beef? No? Google it. It's funny. Wasn't it? Why? Because the person is old and we react when we see them out of the role that has been defined for them. That little old lady was cute and fun, and she's not supposed to be. She's supposed to be slow and crotchety, right? Sometimes we laugh and other times we gasp, "He looks so good for his age." We live in a culture that judges us by what we can't do and expects us to behave in ways that correspond to the cultural expectation, be it age, economic status, weight, what kind of car you drive, how many presents you can buy. We were just talking about today about the pressure of Christmas, you know. The society is harsh when it comes to that too, you know. But let's see. What exactly causes aging and what happened to us during the process? Some scientists believe that human cells have a built-in lifespan programmed at conception, while others believe that an accumulation of damage to cells over the lifespan causes death. Scientists generally agree that humans have about 110 to 120 year potential lifespan. While you can do your best to minimize the aging from disease, disuse or neglect, so far there's not a way to stop primary aging. Your brain, neurons are cells specialized to receive, process, and transmit information to other cells, and we're born with neurons that we will never use, and our brains do generate more through our life. We have about the same amount all through adulthood. So the good news is, even though roughly 200,000 neurons die each day of your life, in 70 years, you will lose less than 2% of your original supply because you were born with so many. More good news. Memory problems and diseases such as Alzheimer's are no longer believed to be a part of normal aging. So they're doing studies on other causes for that. If you want to hear about that, talk to me later, because then I'll get on a diatribe about that. Further, forgetfulness is normal and not an indicator of disease. While age does eventually affect the speed of information processing, the general abilities of information processing and memory are, for the most part, not affected by age itself. An example I found paints a picture of the information in your brain being stored as filing cabinets. So imagine your brain is a filing cabinet. Who watched SpongeBob SquarePants? Anyone? Right. Yes. There's an episode where SpongeBob is he has to be a waiter, just forget everything but fine dining and breathing. So in the cartoon, they go inside SpongeBob's head, and there's all these little SpongeBobs running around this office, and there's all these file cabinets, and they get rid of everything? Are you sure? Everything? Yes, only fine dining and breathing. Yeah. And then later the guy says, oh, you're such a great waiter. I need to know your name. And then they're going through the filing cabinets. Where is it? Where is it? And everything's on fire. But here's this. So you've got this office in your head, right? And it's full of files. And what happens as you age is you put more stuff in your filing cabinet. And so young little whippersnappers come along and they'll, you know, get this information out like that, right? And you know, you ask your grandpa, you know, hey, what is that? And it could be a couple of days, maybe. Oh, think about it. I'll see if I can remember. I mean, I would ask my mom something, and she'll go, oh, give me a couple of days. It'll come up, you know. And you run. It's like the dry cleaning racks, you know. And it just has to run through the whole thing, you know, until you wait for that thought to come around, because you have so much in your file cabinet now that you don't think is fast. So it's not that as we age that we're slow or that we're losing our mental capacity. We're just we have so much information. We're so much smarter. So we're slower. It's like a computer. Fill up your computer and then watch how slow it goes, right? Exactly. So let's see. Where was I? Okay. Information intelligence. As we age, we may process as we age, the way we process information changes. In youth, we are in a rapid learning mode called fluid intelligence, but as we age, we are no longer in rapid learning mode. Can't teach old dogs new tricks, right? Instead, we continue to hone our crystallized intelligence, which is the accumulation of knowledge over a lifespan. So returning students that are older, returning students that are older often do better than younger students because of the prior knowledge and the experience they have to draw from. The more you know, the easier it is for you to learn new information. Languages, you know. Once you learn two languages, you probably pick up another language a lot easier than you did if you, you know, the first time, right? Now, a little bit about when people retire. So the loss of self-esteem and depression that are associated with retirement may be a myth. Satisfaction with life is connected with having good health, sufficient income, social activities and support, etc. While there is a natural decline in social contact connected with aging, there is a theory that we just become more selective with our time, choosing social interactions and relationships that are the most meaningful to us and letting the rest go. That sounds like good news to me, you know? So this whole aging thing isn't sounding as bad as it's made out to be, I hope. For me, I'm feeling a little bit better about it. But then let's go back to ageism and the prejudice against aging. It's discrimination and prejudice based on an individual's physical age. What does our society do with aging and elderly? And I mean, if you've heard Millie talk about taking care of the elderly, you know, instead of watching TV. Awesome. Yeah. She says instead of watching TV, go do her dishes or somebody else's dishes. But yeah.
With you, with the elderly, it's awesome.
Yes. Okay, so I don't have to tell you, but I will. Pretty much we throw our aged people away. There's they are viewed as mentally slow and socially useless. Our culture instead values youth, speed, agility, and progress. Other cultures, such as the Native Americans, treat their elderly with respect and reverence, and they are valued for their wisdom and experience. Depending on how you are treated, you may be quite stressed or quite comfortable in your old age. In previous talks, I talked about generational differences, and they permeate every part of our lives, obviously. And the generational differences are there's a lifetime span, and the type of generation it is, and the characteristics of that generation. And when you start to look at the differences, you start to understand why the problems that people have today with communication are so. You would notice it more, should I say. So let's see. Gen Xers and older were socially molded to respect authority figures and the elderly. Today's younger generations have grown up in a world where they have witnessed those figures falling from grace. So I'm talking about baby boomers, which is 1946 to 1964. And then traditionalists were before that, 1900 and 1945. And those were the generations that you worked for a company for your entire life, and then you got a pension. You stayed loyal to that company, and you trusted your leaders, and you didn't question authority. Children should be seen and not heard. Don't challenge your parents, right? And that's that generation. And then now look at the younger generations. They saw a world where the figures that their elders have trusted have been falling from grace. Companies who lay off the parents or the parent or the elder person right before they're about to retire, and they lose their pension because they get laid off, you know. And the younger kids see that, and so they develop a mistrust for what they're told to be loyal to. But what they're told and what they're seeing doesn't match. So the younger generations now are questioning that authority because what they're seeing and hearing don't make sense. What other conclusions can we draw? They give respect only when it's earned. Given that, so that's the younger generation, right? You have to earn the respect. You have to demonstrate that you could be trusted. But let's see, I'm asking to hold the elderly and aging in reverence. I want to talk a little bit about the generational differences. So I have a chart here. Okay, so they call them different things. So one calls them traditionalists, and the other one calls them matures. And that's people who were born between 1900 and 1946. Anybody know anybody that was born between those years? Okay. So that generation experienced World War I and World War II. Their attributes were command and control and self-sacrifice. They respect authority, they like family, and they like community involvement. And they dislike waste, and they dislike technology. Is anybody surprised? between 1946 and 1964? Yeah. Anybody know anybody? All right. It's the me generation. They experienced space exploration and the first modern counterculture. Sorry, I don't have an explanation for that. Oh, yeah, thank yeah. you. Yeah. Woo! Atomic age. They're optimistic, but they're workaholics. They have a work ethic, and they like to have responsibility and meet responsibilities, have a can-do attitude, and they dislike laziness, and they dislike turning 50. How'd that? 1965 and 1985. Latchkey generation, MTV generation, experienced Vietnam War, Rise and Fall of the Cold War, Rise of Mass Media. They're independent and skeptical. They like freedom, they like multitasking, and they like work-life balance. And they dislike red tape and hype. 1981 to 1997. If you know somebody or you are somebody. This is Generation Y. Sorry, okay, the last one was Generation X. So it goes matures, baby boomers, Generation X. Now we're doing Generation Y. 1981 to 1997. Let's see. First digitals, Echo Boom. They experienced the Persian Gulf War and the internet. Their attributes are hopeful and determined. They like public activism, the latest technology, and parents. Wow. And they dislike anything slow. So my daughter. And negativity. And then Generation Z is 1997 to present. So they still are working on it. They usually measure it in like 19-year spans. Let's see, they're experiencing the war on terror, the Iraq war, and the credit market collapse. But what they haven't done is research the attributes because they're waiting for that generation to get older before they can start measuring and saying what they like and dislike. So there's really cool images on the internet with generational differences. And the last time I did the talk, I printed out some charts. And I don't have any, I have barely enough ink in my printer, so I didn't print any today. But in the last time I gave the talk, I had handed out these papers. And I ran into somebody a couple years later, and she said, "Hey, yeah, you know, I was cleaning out my purse at the airport because I had a really long layover, and I found that piece of paper from your talk, so I read it." And she said, you know, at the time, it was exactly what she needed to hear because she was having, you know, challenges communicating with her children. And she was having challenges communicating with her mother. And when she read the information, she was like, oh, that's just how they are. It's like, start from there, right? So we do want to respect our elders. They thrive on being respected. And, you know, it's socially and culturally we should be appreciating aging. We're all going to get old. We're all going to – our bodies are going to not work as well. They talk about your cells, and your cells have to reproduce over your lifetime. And it's like taking a Xerox, this copy, and making a copy, and then taking that copy and making a copy – and a copy of the copy of the copy, and then pretty soon you've got a really crappy image, you know, and that's our cells reproducing over time, right? I mean, okay, it's not crappy. It just doesn't look as sharp as the original. I know. They're laughter lines, okay?
Hey, some people are like wine, you know?
What's that?
Some people are like,
why? The older they are, the better they are. Oh, yeah. I'm all for that.
Just saying.
So put on, I hope that my talk has given you consider putting on a different pair of glasses. Consider allowing yourself to see others from the perspective of, you know, appreciating the wisdom and the experience that older people have. Since aging is inevitable, we'll all be there someday, hopefully. We sang Karen Carpenter's song. She didn't stick around very long. But, you know, provided you're going to get old, how do you want to be treated? And start treating people that way. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We respond to the way we are treated, whether it's positive or negative. If you treat an elderly like they are helpless, a bother, or stupid, eventually they will succumb and behave accordingly. Same with kids. I guess with anybody. The same is true when you treat people as independent and functional. So enjoy looking at Thanksgiving dinner when you're waiting for, you know, or when you're frustrated or when you're trying to understand the younger people at the table or the older people at the mm-hmm. table. Maybe if you know that you're going to be challenged, take some time to read the generational differences. Maybe ask them about what they experienced. Find out what it's like for them. You know, connect. And thank you for your time.